let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio this morning with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John. It's so good to see you.
Good morning, Danny, and we're going to take a deep dive into this story here, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And I was thinking about, you know, kind of all the turmoil and things that have been going on in my life, you know, through Christmas and into the new year. But I thought to myself, that's nothing compared to what poor right. Joseph is going through and his brothers. Oh, right. My gosh. It's such, again, I hate to repeat myself, but this is one of the greatest stories, I'm telling you. And I've read
it. I would like to say it is the greatest story.
Well, yeah. but it's so amazing how I've read this so many times and never considered, and especially even the stuff that you've got in your post today on ancienthopes.org about the story. It's just amazing, you know.
Well,
the depth of it, I guess. I mean,
there's the depth of this is so important. You know, in the last few of our podcast, we saw just how stuck this family is. And it reminds us that even in our spiritual lives, we can have long periods where we feel like, I'm stuck. I'm not going anywhere. What's happening, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just the whole idea of the recognizing and remembering that you talk about in here.
So important, yeah.
And when I was thinking about this, that's one of the things that I thought about is just that it's amazing how that has impacted my spiritual life. Just this idea of remembering things that I've done in my past and how it sort of moves you a little bit, sometimes drags you down, sometimes brings you up, you know, remembering things that are good things.
Sure. I mean, yeah. We've got a very selective memory, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's a whole different issue. I mean, memory is a huge part of our intellectual powers that God has given us, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so we've got the brothers, okay? So the famine has drove them to Joseph.
Yeah, and their father drove them.
Their father, yeah. Why are you sitting here looking at each other, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, and I love what St. Ambrose says, you know, famine should drive us to Jesus, too.
Yeah, that was a great quote that you had in the post, yeah.
Yeah. So we're stuck. Perhaps we can get to a place where we're hungry enough so that God, we're in a place to meet God. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so necessity forces the brothers down into Egypt. Again, going into Egypt is a scary thing.
Right.
Not only the robbers along the road, but once you get there, it's a strange, exotic land, you know.
Lots of bad things are happening.
Powerful, you know, spiritual powers going on. And
right.
Pharaoh and everything done at his whim because he's a god. I mean, this, you know, it's...
and Jacob doesn't let Benjamin go. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that shows you the complications that still exist. I mean, you know, he's playing favorites. He's
right.
Just, yeah. You know, well, if something happened to all the rest of you, at least I've got my favorite.
My favorite. Benjamin.
Yeah, right. Just like Joseph was a favorite.
Since I lost my favorite 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Right. So Jacob just hasn't really gone anywhere either. You know? But what seems like an amazing stroke of good fortune, when they come into Egypt and before this great industry of
giving out the grain.
Yeah, grain to, you know, I mean, Joseph was there, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and so, and he recognizes, and now that's a huge word, as we've said many times before, what you recognize. Okay, what do you recognize? Jacob recognized the coat of Joseph,
mm-hmm.
and he came to his own conclusions, right?
Right, yeah.
Right. Remember Judah, he recognized these belongings of his that Tamar brought
Tamar
to him.
Had, yeah.
And that was a good recognition because he said he went into himself and said, you know, I'm the problem here.
Yeah, it caused him to realize who he really was.
Right, and that's what recognizing is to see, hey, you know, the problem's not out there. The problem's with me.
Right.
And whenever you get that point, then God can do things with you, right?
Sure, yeah.
Because how we perceive reality, what we recognize, so to speak, regardless of the truthfulness of that, that's our reality we live in.
Yeah, that's definitely what drives us and what moves us through life, yep.
Right, and so that should be a very sobering thought, mm-hmm. I think, right?
Sure.
Very few of us are living in reality, and none of us are really to the full extent. It's sort of like we do live by these illusions, right?
Yes.
And God's very careful in stripping them away, right? I mean, if he showed us everything about it in one shot, we'd freak out, right?
Probably kill myself.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, really, because we're very fragile creatures. When you really get down to it, we're all very fragile, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, recognizing that fact, that fragility about me when I look in the mirror, that is sobering.
Yeah, and what it does is hopefully it throws your, you know, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, moves me toward God.
I love that at the beginning of the Mass. Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. You know, Christ have mercy. Yes. Lord have mercy. You know,
please.
Just let the words roll out of your heart through your mouth, right? Right? Right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So, what's really great here is that what would you normally have thought of? He recognized them right away. What would a normal person do?
Treat them as they should be treated,
I
think. Yeah,
call the guards, off with the heads.
Yeah, right.
Right.
But he doesn't do that, but he still does something to them.
That's right. So he recognizes them, but the same word recognize can also be used in Hebrew for plot.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay, so just like his brothers plotted, you know, what to do with
him,
right, when he was in the pit. Now, Joseph's the one that starts plotting.
Yeah.
Isn't this really sweet how the story is so deep and incredibly wonderful?
There are so many layers to it that I just did not realize.
Right. So he plots against them, okay, and he treats them harshly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed that there are some commentaries that the commentators, who are very smart people for the most part, take issue and say, oh, yeah, man, they treat his brothers badly. What's wrong with him? You know, Joseph, you know, like that. And I'm saying to myself, oh, come on, you know.
They wanted him to die.
Right, that's right.
This is real humanity here.
So he puts them to the test, really, because he has no idea where they are at. He has no idea whether any of this is going to end well.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's plotting without having any clue what the future is going to hold. Yeah.
And his wisdom comes out in that he disguises himself. Mm-hmm. Or he doesn't have to disguise himself. He looks like an Egyptian, probably had makeup on and, you know, all the things that we see, you know. And
well, it's just they would never know that it was Joseph because they're just not expecting anything like that at
That's
all.
Right.
So there's no way. And plus, he's so much older.
So I call this post Joseph as Hamlet, right?
Yeah, opening tell me about that, because I'm not a Hamlet guy. I mean, I remember reading it in high school.
Right. Well, anyways, there's a lot of plotting going on in that, and Hamlet is the son of the king of Denmark, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his uncle, his father's brother, kills him.
Okay.
Because he usurps. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody knows this. Matter of fact, you know, no one really knows this except for his uncle, right?
Yeah.
But it's all suspected, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Hamlet is going throughout the play trying to find out the truth about things.
Okay.
And so what he does is actually puts on a show because the traveling actors are coming through town. And so he kind of writes the script.
Oh,
okay.
Right. That's right.
Remember?
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargle. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
And so what he does is actually puts on a show because the traveling actors are coming through town. And so he kind of writes the script.
Oh, okay. Right. That's right.
Remember? Yeah. And so I'll just read the Shakespeare here, okay? I have heard that guilty creatures sitting at play have, by the very cunning of the scene, been struck so to the soul that presently they have proclaimed their malfactions. The play's the thing wherein I'll catch the conscience of the king. Okay.
So, in
this whole thing, the king is sleeping and his brother comes in, puts poison in his ear, and he dies, And so Hamlet's sitting in this play watching, his uncle to see how he responds to this whole thing,
Right.
To see if he would repent and the truth would come out, but it doesn't. It doesn't seem to faze him at all. However, he did see him later in the chapel, groaning and moaning over his conscience, and that sort of thing.
But at the same time, he's there plotting.
Even
in the chapel, groaning and moaning.
That's right. He's not really, he can't really bring himself to repent. That's that interesting part of the thing. So he's setting his play up to see how the brothers are going to react.
Yes.
And he's basically going to put them through the same steps that he himself experienced, which is brilliant.
Yes.
Which is brilliant, right? So, again, Joseph had no assurance how this is going to turn out. Will they repent?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can they even repent?
He's sort of doing one act at a time.
Yeah.
Just to see what happens next.
That's because their next post is Hamlet Part 2. okay. Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, he sets in motion this very complex play. Okay. Now, you mentioned remembering. That's an important thing too, because it says here that Joseph saw his brothers and remembered.
Yeah.
Huge. Because remember we talked about the fact that he had married Asenet, this prestigious daughter of the priest of An.
Yes.
He's got two children, Manasseh. Right.
He sort
Ephraim.
Of got into the line of the family without even doing anything.
Right. And then on top of that all, he's Osiris to the people of Egypt.
Sure.
I mean, what would it be like? I guess you'd have to be like a rock and roll star, okay?
Like that.
Yeah, God, right?
Any kind of person that's at the very top of their game, yeah.
Right. I remember reading something where Eric Clapton, was so famous, with his band Cream that someone painted on an overpass in London, Eric Clapton is God.
Yeah, sure.
So rock stars get a little sense of what this must be like, but then with that comes all sorts of drug use and
all kinds of negative humanity
of bad things, pretending of being what you're not,
Yep.
So what we have here is him remembering his dreams.
Yeah.
Those encounters with God that we've had in the past, most people who are following God throughout their life, have a long history, and there are places, key points in their lives where it really intersected with God in an unusual way.
Yes.
Okay. Most people do, and sometimes we forget them. And if we forget them, we don't write them down. We don't keep them in our mind. After a while, we forget who we are. Right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. And that definitely happened to Joseph here. I mean, it seems like it. I mean, he was really moving toward the Egyptian side of life, and then all this happens. Mm-hmm.
So his dreams, of course, were dreams of greatness, right?
Yeah.
And so here, Joseph, I mean, the fact that he could hold his emotions, I mean, and without gushing all over his brothers, that would have ruined the whole scene right there.
Right.
you know, they would freak out and they would never have had a really opportunity to repent and really come to the
and
truth.
And come
themselves.
To know him.
Yeah, right. And come to know him. I mean, it just, the whole thing would have fallen apart right there.
Yeah.
Okay. But he remembered, which means that, oh, I'm a son of the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
God of my fathers.
Yeah.
Has come to me when I was young, and now he gave me promises, right? And now they're all opening up. Look at me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm basically running Egypt. I'm running the world. The sun bows. Remember, the sun and moon bows down? Even the sun
of
Pharaoh. You know,
in
Ray,
the dreams,
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Or Ra, however I pronounce the word. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so all this in one split second floods into him and saying, you know, God does exist.
Right. And just that memory, all of that, it really was, that's what I was thinking. It really was like a flood.
Yeah.
Just seeing his brothers, and then all of that stuff must have happened in his mind.
Right.
Almost immediately.
Right.
That, and then the recognition of, this is who I am.
Right.
Yeah,
and
this encounter with God.
All is his wisdom.
Mm.
Oh, for wisdom. You know, I mean, you hardly hear the word used in today's culture, wisdom. Am I right or wrong on that?
Oh, I think that's true, yeah. Well, yeah. And people use the word wisdom in ways that are not quite true or not quite what the word really means.
Right, yeah, yeah. So it's amazing that words can fall out of our vocabulary that are so, so poignant, like holy. We've talked about that before.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it's a pejorative term, you know, wisdom,
mm-hmm.
because no one really cares about wisdom.
Yeah, it's
really
not as
don't.
Meaningful, yeah.
It's not meaningful. It's not something that people are aspired to, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
So here is Joseph is so wise, and what illustrates his wisdom is the control of his emotions.
Right.
Right.
Once again, he's really mastered all of that part of himself.
Right.
You know, those emotions and what he wants to do and how he wants to treat his brothers.
Right.
And sort of pulls that in.
But he doesn't do it for his own advancement.
Mm, right. Yeah.
He does it. The story doesn't really say, but, you know, a deep love for his father.
Yeah.
That he may not be even cognizant of his brothers, even though they're a bunch of bums. And yet, how do you explain that? You know, I mean, on the surface, I'm sure he mumbled, said, you know, Simeon and Levi, those murderous wretches and blah, 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 right?
Right.
You know, but when he sees them, there's something way down deeper than these surface sort of things and saying, you know,
that comes out of him.
Love these guys, really, you know?
Yeah. It comes out of him and causes him to do things that he hopes, not sure about again yet, but that he hopes will help them in the future as the play works itself out.
Right. But as we see that it's not only them, but himself.
Uh-huh, sure.
There's this something not complete about him.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has to do with reconciling himself with his brothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so this is the whole idea of this first moment. It's just a beautiful moment, a beautiful scene in this play, isn't it?
Yeah, and things immediately change. You know, that when they walk in and he sees them, the story begins. Like, the story takes a completely different tact.
Right, yeah. And just another encouragement for listeners that it may seem like God takes his good old time. Right.
Yes.
And he does, but we're so time sensitive, right?
Yep.
But God's not time.
Yeah, well, give it to God, me now.
Yeah. God is time sensitive. He just knows the right time.
Yeah,
which
the
is
right
not
moment.
The way we think about these things in life, right?
Yep, true.
So it's all about recognizing What we recognize, what we perceive or think we perceive and how we recognize is the reality we live in, which may not at all have any correlation to what's real.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a very important thing to keep in mind. And remembering, okay, remembering what God has done and the promises of the past. And,
yep, these past encounters.
Yep.
Yep.
Very important.
Okay. Good. Gosh. I'm looking forward to the next part of the story.
I always look forward to it.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming.
God bless you, my friend. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture.
Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.